Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Katrina Cartwright, the Education Officer at the NAGB, standing in for your regular host, Amanda Colson, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget, you can take us with you when you're on the move or traveling in foreign lands by live streaming us at www.guardiantalkradio.com or by downloading the Guardian Radio app form from the App Store or Play Store. I always get mixed up with that. That's a lot of stores and apps. So tonight is a really fun and interesting night because I have two fabulous people in the studio with me. Both of them are my colleagues. One of them I've worked with for several years, and the other one I really met as a student who's now become a colleague. So welcome, Abby Smith and Matthew Ramming. Thank you for being here tonight.
Hi.
So Abby is our community outreach officer at the NAGB. She's been there much longer than I have, about 5 years now. Is that right? Mm-hmm. And Matthew joined the team as an intern in 2017. And Matthew, really and truly, it feels longer. I feel like you've been there for a much longer time. Like 1 year just seems very short. But we're here tonight to talk about professional development experiences they've had during their time at the NAGB, in particular the most recent ones. So Abby, in August, went to Miami, and she worked with, History Miami for about a week. Is that right? About a week. And when she came back with bags of stuff. Bags. It was
Santa
amazing.
Claus.
Yeah, it was like Santa Claus, just so much information. I was so excited to go through it with her and have her share her experiences with me. So, Abby, I think we'll start with you then. So just give us a little bit of information about, you know, how you came to choose History Miami, and really, like, your overall experience there. You know, like, first impressions, what stood out the most, what did you find most interesting, what do you see yourself doing based on that experience?
Well, I started my professional development with History Miami the last week of August, and it was a very interesting experience because, you know, you don't know what to expect. You've been emailing these persons back and forth, and of course now it's time to actually be face to face with these persons, and it was an experience to say the least. When you walk into the building, the first thing you see at History Miami is, like, obviously the history of Miami. It's actually that literal, you know. It's the, you walk in there, you see things that when you go to Miami as a Bahamian, because you know that's where we love to go, you know.
Yes, we do.
You see things that you often don't take notice of, and, you know, realize there's a lot of history behind it, you know. Working with History Miami, I worked with their education department, and I was really mentored for that week by Tina Menendez, who is the vice president of education there at the museum. And I worked along with her team, Swarmies, Olga, Hannah, and Cynthia. These lovely ladies, you know, they became my workmates for the week. It was such an interesting experience culturally, because when you walk into that office space, you're automatically, like, transported to this big multicultural, you know, existence. You know, everybody in that space is either from a South American country or has some South American roots. And it was very interesting. You know, Olga was from Nicaragua. You know, Swarmies was from Colombia. Hannah was part Korean, part Puerto Rican, and Tina was Puerto Rican, and Cynthia was from, I think she was from Argentina.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was like really a mix of persons there, and, you know, of course, I being the only Bahamian in that space, and usually you find that very strange, especially if you're in Miami, to know that you're the only Bahamian in a workspace. That's really peculiar, because there's a Bahamian everywhere.
Them and Jamaicans and Cubans, yeah,
yes.
All our Caribbean people.
We're everywhere. And so it felt like, you know, of course, the weight of the country was on my shoulders. It's like, you know, I'm here to represent everything that people consider to be Bahamian. But what was wonderful about the experience is that I really got to learn firsthand about the way in which education works in a museum as small as History Miami, and small in terms of working, like the staff. It was similar to the NAGB in a sense where, you know, you have this small team doing great things. And of course, I came in on the tail end of them planning their second annual Culture Fest, which was really something that was near and dear to me because, you know, at the NAGB, you know, I usually plan big events like that, you know, that caters to like all ages. And it was great to actually come into the thick of things where they were really laying out their plans. And, you know, I got to go on site visits with them, especially with a person who they called History Miami's Abby. You know, because, you know, at the NAGB.
So I'm just going to insert here that Abby found clones to both herself and me.
Yes.
There were clones. I don't know how that makes me feel that there's one of us in another museum.
Yeah, but it works. It works for them because History Miami, you know, the space, because it is so rich in cultural history, it wasn't a shocking thing to have that experience to see that there was an Abby in the space. The Abbey, you know, of course, as you guys know, I love crayons. You know, I love kids. I love to be bubbly. I love to bounce around. Of course, you know, I like new things. I like new experiences. And, of course, Swarmies, who was the public program's director, you know, she was also very instrumental in really teaching me certain things that I myself hadn't really had that much experience with. And she was able to really tap into, you know, really keeping my interest for the entire week. You know, like I said, I went on site visits. I had an opportunity to go to Little Haiti, to go to Little Havana, and also to go to Overton, which is something I didn't think that I was ever going to do in a 5-day span. But with that opportunity, I was able to really learn about, you know, how these small spaces really have had an impact on Miami's historical makeup, especially learning about the communities and, you know, a lot of them being displaced communities and how they've made a home for themselves in, you know, a U.S. state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how these persons have really influenced laws and policies within that state, and how the how History Miami has really like dedicated themselves to really telling the story of these people. And then you think about how they tell the story of Coconut Grove. Of course, as we know, that's really where the Bahamian population really is very centered. And, you know, the stories that, you know, I would have heard, things I would have heard prior to going to History Miami, it was solidified, especially when I was doing tours throughout the space and, you know, really learning more about my people, you know, and their lives when they went to Miami.
Yeah. And I remember you and I having that discussion about how they saw Junkanoo.
Yes.
How they displayed Junkanoo, how they made their costumes, and you being completely flabbergasted by the materials they used and what they considered, like, how they approached that was an indigenous tradition to us.
Yes.
So I guess you could share more about that.
Yes. Yeah, so I walked around their standing display that was basically standing because it's not changed in the past 25 years. And for me to say that that's younger than I am, but still very much a show that's been on too long, but, you know, still a very relevant show.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to really learn the history of Miami all in a day, and something that I really think that wasn't possible. And then I rolled up on the Bahamas section at History of Miami, and I saw Junkanoo. And of course, you know, anybody who knows me, I'm a Junkanoo fanatic. And that's from behind the scenes to on Bay Street. You know, of course, everything I eat, sleep, drink, Junkanoo. And of course, looking at the way in which they portray Junkanoo, of course, you know, the history in Miami and how, you know, how vibrant it was. But then at the same time, I was like, well, what is this? Because it was like they were like stuck in a time capsule with this particular display. And I said, you know, I probably have to say a word or two about this because maybe this is something that they didn't know. And it really was the case of, although it was a historical museum, of course, history is ever changing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means that displays such as Junkanoo, cultural displays such as Junkanoo, needs to be culturally relevant. And so I took that all into consideration, and, you know, I had a chance, an opportunity to speak with the curator, and I said, well, you know, something just, you know, I just really wanted to point some things out to you. And, you know, she started laughing with me, and she said she was doing some research, and, you know, that's what led to avenues of street expression. That is a very, 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 very timely exhibition, because it really spoke about Miami street culture, and really something that was reminiscent throughout the Caribbean as well. You know, every time you walk along the streets, you always see somebody selling fruits. Mm-hmm. You always see somebody selling religious artifacts. You always see somebody selling t-shirts and pants and just basically clothes out of a van. You see them selling meals out of a little hut or box, you know. And of course, I felt at home with this exhibition. So I feel that it hit home in a way, because I was able to relate to it. I was able to become very familiar with it. And I was very much able to say, well, yeah, that happens where I live too. And so that became something of a shared history, a shared experience that the curator, although she had not visited the Bahamas more than once, mm-hmm. she had the opportunity to really showcase island life.
Mm.
And that was very, 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 very important for me to really see myself in that exhibition, which a lot of times, you know, people miss. You know, they have exhibitions and it totally goes above the viewer's head. And so that, I would say, that was a very successful showing for History of Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And yet again, I rolled up on the John Canoe display. And, you know, there was a lot of felt work.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, this really, you know, it's really more show costume than it is ready for bay costume. Now, that's not to say that a lot of folks don't go to bay with the felt on, but it was just really, the entire display was like satin and felt. And, you know, I began to think about, you know, the access to materials and the way in which, you know, Bahamians, you know, went about trying to keep a sense of home mm-hmm. with them, and what they used to really showcase that Bahamianness of John Canoe, and however they was able to translate that as they cross waters to get, you know, to get to Miami or to get to the United States in general or to another country. This is how they interpreted John Canoe. And I understood, you know, the relevance of the felt and the satin and also the glitter and glam of what John Canoe would be. But it was also, like I said, the means,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, access.
And access is a real thing, right? Because we're in an island nation. It doesn't matter how close we are mm-hmm. to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And the nature of being in an island nation means that you tend to not have easy access to a lot of things, which means that you recycle
mm-hmm.
and reuse, and you hold a lot of things there because it's not easy to get them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, looking at what you're saying about how they approached costume making over there, it also mm-hmm. speaks again to access, and that it's a completely different environment.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
there was like, you know, sound components that they had that really made me feel like I was actually at a John Canoe parade. But of course, too, you know, it wasn't that heavy thump 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 feeling that you would feel with, you know, on a Bay Street morning where the competition is very thick, where the crowd is very excited and enthusiastic about what's to come. But you still had this connection to home, that when you walked into the space, you would say, hey, I'm not homesick anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, when Bahamians go to Florida or when they travel in general, you know, homesickness don't really come right away. It doesn't come right away. You know, it takes a while. But I became homesick because my love of John Canoe, you mm-hmm. know, it overpowered everything. And I was like, oh, wow, this is really an experience that I'm going to remember, if only because of this exhibition itself.
Yeah, and definitely. And, you know, well, I'm thinking about John Canoe and Bay Street and looking forward to that. But we're going to wrap up this segment right now. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Matthew about his time at the NAGB. Thank you for tuning in, and make sure you come back. You are listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio, and we are on Blank Canvas.